So Luke chapter 10, I'm going to read from verse 37 to 42, a very familiar passage of scripture. Luke chapter 10, 37 to 40, 38 to 42. I will read and we will pray about this, that God will help us. This is the word of God. Verse 38. Luke 10:38. Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." That is the word of God. Will you please bow with me? We'll ask the Lord's help. Father, we thank you for your word. We know that your word is the truth, and in us is no truth except we receive it from you. So we pray tonight that you will open these words and illuminate our hearts so that we can see, understand, and listen to what you would like us to see, understand, and listen. Help me, help us, that Lord, we may see the truth that you have in these verses. Help us that we may receive the truth to be able to obey. And as Pastor Paul prayed, you be glorified through this meditation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Dwelling in God's presence. Dwelling in God's presence. That's a subject I wanted to share a few things about from these verses. This passage is very familiar. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, this is a very familiar text. We use it sort of culturally too, to describe certain tendencies and behaviors among believers. We'll come to that. So I take it that all of you, or most of you, are familiar with the story and the mention of these things. However, we will meditate this together. And I do believe, as often it happens, even a familiar passage, God will bring out a truth that is unique for the occasion. I'm confident of that. So the situation, the story, if you're familiar or not, is in verse 38. And they were traveling along. They were traveling along. And who is this they? If you go up to a few verses in the same chapter, in verse 17, it said the 70 returned with joy. So the Lord Jesus sends out 70. They come back with joy. So there's the Lord and 70 people. You come down a few verses, 23. Turning to the disciples, he said privately. So now it's a smaller group of just the disciples, perhaps not all the 70. So I would like to think it's a smaller group. And then in that smaller group, there's like a discussion that takes place, verse 25. Verses 30 to 37 is a very famous parable of the Good Samaritan. We know the story. And the Lord was using that as an illustration to say, well, the second greatest commandment, which is you should love the Lord with all your heart, number one, love your neighbor as yourself. And the Lord uses the Good Samaritan to illustrate that. And after that, we come to verse 38. They were traveling along. So the they here is the Lord and perhaps his disciples. It's certainly not the Lord alone. You know, the Lord didn't travel alone. He didn't drive alone in a car or walk alone by himself. The disciples were with him. So as they were traveling along, likely in the area of Jerusalem, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. We know from other passages of scripture, and particularly the Gospel of John, chapter 11, that Martha and Mary and their brother was Lazarus. It's the same Lazarus who was raised from the dead in John, chapter 11. They lived in a village called Bethany. Bethany was 2 miles from Jerusalem. So Jerusalem was on an elevated place, like a hilltop. Bethany was the village at the bottom of the hill. So you could think of Bethany as a quiet suburb. If you were in Bethany, if you looked up, you couldn't see Jerusalem because it's below the hill. So it was a nice walk up to Jerusalem, quiet suburb town. And that's how you can think of Bethany. And in that village lived the friends of the Lord. We see that in the law in John 11 that the Lord really loved this family of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. It says so in John 11. Here we are told that he entered the village, that is Bethany, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. This is a remarkable thing because she's not just welcoming him, because when you welcome him, the package comes along. You can't just say, you come, but the rest of you do take out. No, they're all coming in. They're all coming in. So she's welcoming a group of people. So it's a very noble thing in the Jewish culture to be demonstrating hospitality, to serve. It's a very very well respected practice, and that's what this lady Martha did. Now, we think that, so there are the characters are Martha, and then next verse we see this character Mary, who's her sister, and then the Lord is here, and then the disciples are there because they were traveling together. We don't see much about the mention of the disciples. And so this is the setting of our story. The Lord is in the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. We don't know how big the house is, but there was enough room for all of them to sit. And clearly, when the Lord is in town, people are busy. You know, like, do you want some water? What can I get you? It's the Middle Eastern hospitality, which is, you know, make the guest comfortable. And it is not any guest. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who's here. And we have good evidence to believe from John chapter 11 that Mary and Martha were not just, you know, familiar with the Lord Jesus. They were familiar with who he was. It is likely that they were his disciples in the sense of believing that he was the Messiah. And I will explain why I think so. So then we come to verse 39 in that context. And it says, we're introduced to Mary. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. So as we think about dwelling in God's presence, the second person of the Trinity has come into their house. And the second person of the Trinity is doing what he does. Now, you have to imagine, this is a little my imagination, and you along with me imagine, the Lord Jesus as he comes into their house, his question was probably not, oh, what did you cook for me today? Like, did you make like that chicken casserole? I don't think he would have asked that. Maybe he did inquire, how are you and what are you doing and what's going on or something. But this was about 6 months before the Lord's death. The Lord knew his time was coming to an end. We know that from reading the Gospel of John. He was saying that I only do the will of my Father. So his priority was to finish his task. Because remember, before when he was on the cross, what did he say? It is finished. Last words. So he knew he had things to do. He was in that job. We see that in him from when he was 12 years old. Remember the time when he went up with his parents to Jerusalem? And then his parents thought he was returning with the family, and they come 1 or 2 days and they find out he's not there. So they had to go back to Jerusalem, and the Lord is there with the teachers, and he's, you know, having discussions with them. And they are like, what? We thought you were with us. What does he say to them? Don't you know I have to be on my job? I have to do my father's business. He didn't argue with them. He just asked them in a very, very honest way. So from that age, we see that in the Lord Jesus Christ, there was this awareness. And when in his public ministry, clearly he had a task to finish. So if you really think about in that mindset, as he entered the house of Mary and Martha, I would like to think that the Lord was doing what he always does, which is sharing the truth. He was looking for somebody he can talk to. Isn't that what he did publicly? That's what he would have done even in their house. And he found an audience in the dwelling in God's presence. So 39, we see there's an audience here, audience of one person for sure. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. That is the first principle I want to share about dwelling in God's presence, listening to his word. This listening is more than just hearing and saying, yeah, I got it. This is more to understand by hearing. To comprehend by hearing. That is the idea in the original word of that listening. To think over and over again. And who was she listening to? It was the living word, speaking the living words about God, about truth. What a sermon that would have been. What a discussion that would have been. No confusion. God, the second person of the Trinity, the God who is truth, in their house, in the family house, having a conversation, and she's listening to him. I wonder if, as I was studying this, I thought, I wonder if she had any questions. She said, "Lord, I got that, but I have a question." Then it occurred to me in Psalm 139, it says, even before a word is there on my tongue, he knows it. So I'm thinking in my mind, this is just my imagination as I was reading this, that if even if she had a question, the Lord knew before the question came, what the question was, and he would have, directed the teaching in that way. And I'd like to believe there were no questions because of that truth. That's my imagination. Scripture doesn't say that. But I'm thinking, what a conversation that would have been. She's sitting at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. She was catching everything he was saying. Not to say anything about, so the listening is like this. If you're, listening to me right now on Zoom and you're driving, that's one way to listen. The other option is you park your car, stop, and you open your Bible in your car, turn the light on, and listen. So that was what she was doing. Not just multitasking, listening, seeking what is he saying, focused on him. And that's what she was doing. And how was she doing it? Sitting at the Lord's feet, right there, very close to the Lord, at the Lord's feet, seated at the Lord's feet. The sitting at the Lord's feet in a cultural context in the Middle East is like a student learning from a master, like a disciple learning from a master. The picture is given to us similar to this in Acts 22, where Paul says, "I learned at the feet of Gamaliel." Gamaliel was like a very renowned teacher, and he was one of the famous men in that time. And Paul said, "I learned under him. I learned under his tutelage. I was his disciple." So the learning was not to debate. It's not like, okay, what do I know that I can take from here? And or this learning, you have to understand, is the attitude is, "I don't know, and you're teaching me, and I'm receiving instruction so that I can obey and listen." The opposite of listening is when the Lord says, "My people do not listen to me." Israel did not listen, the word of God says. So there, it's not like that they didn't just pay attention. The listening there is they did not obey. They had no intention to receive, to understand, and then go and do it. They had no interest in that. Israel did not listen. My people did not listen. But here is the opposite. The Bible says she was listening, seated at the Lord's feet, and that's what she was doing. The sitting there, just showing the quietness of the heart, attention. Now, remember, go back to verse 38. This is not a quiet place. There is a lot of people there. The Lord was there, his disciples were there. And if you know the next verse, there's like a lot of activity going on. Cooking is going on, and preparation is going on, meal prep is going on. So we know, just speaking into the next verse, this is not like a pin drop mountainside, nice hills, spring weather, quiet. No, this is a lot of things are going on, but it is said that Mary was listening. Sitting, quietness of the heart, at the Lord's feet, very close. Maybe she sat right there in front, and as he was sitting on a bench or a stool or a chair, she's sitting on the floor, and looking, taking every word that he was saying, paying attention, listening to his word, showing submission. That's what she was doing. What a picture of paying attention to what a true disciple should do. So the Lord's priority, as I explained, was to communicate the truth because his time was running out. And Mary's priority was to receive all that God had said. Now, is it we today, can we do the same thing? Is the Lord going to come physically into our houses? We don't know, of course not. But there is an equivalent of this that we can do even in our day. Let's turn to Revelation 19. Revelation 19, I want to show you something. And it will become clear why we are turning to Revelation 19. There is a description about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a phrase that is used there to describe who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Revelation 19 and verse 13. This is what is written. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God. So yes, he won't physically come into our house, but when I keep this book, the Word of God, and I sit down and I look into it and I read it and listen to it, saying, what is God communicating to me? We can do exactly what Mary did in Luke chapter 10. Listening. Now, not just cursory reading, not just double tasking, but listening. His name is the Word of God. So, yes, he won't physically come into our presence. We don't need him to, because we live by faith and we know he's dwelling in our hearts, in our homes, if we are saved. But the Word of God is what we have. The full counsel of God is there. We can also sit at the Lord's feet and listen to his word today. See what he has to say. And do the exact things, which is in the quietness of the heart, at the Lord's feet, submitting to him. Is that how we study? Is that how we approach the Lord's presence? Do we have this practice? And I'll explain why this is praised by the Lord, and you would have seen that in verse 20. There's another version of this in Ezra chapter 7. Let's turn there too, in Ezra, which is right before the book of Psalms, before Esther, before Nehemiah. And the book of Ezra, talking about the word of God, how someone took the word of God. In Ezra chapter 7, the Lord Jesus Christ is not there in his person. It says in verse 10, Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. So he has determined to study the word of God. Like, look at it intently, listen, submit to it. So here was a man in the Old Testament, where the Lord Jesus was not in bodily form, he was doing what I was just describing, taking the Word of God and applying it and determining to study it, even in the midst of whatever else is going on. Now, we see that, going back to our passage in Luke 10:39, we see this true about Mary in two other places. I said you can read about her in John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, in verse 32, she, when the news of when Lazarus, her brother, dies and the Lord comes, she falls at his feet and cries to the Lord, say, Lord, if you had only come earlier. So her grief she pours out. And then in the next chapter, in John chapter 12, she worships him by offering a very expensive perfume to the Lord. So you see her as somebody who really worships the Lord, who adores the Lord. That was her mindset. And it's said in the Gospel of John that the Lord loved her. Lord loved Mary and Martha. He really loved them. And therefore we learn that the one who is of God, the one who is loved by the Lord, is someone who he instructs in this way. Is it possible for everyone to listen like this? It is not, unless it is a person who's born again. Only a redeemed person will want to listen, is able to listen. Turn back two chapters. I'll show you an example. Luke chapter 8, just two chapters behind, and verse 47. The Lord here in Luke chapter 8 heals a person who is demon-possessed. And we see that in sorry, I got my words wrong. So you see that in verse 35, Luke 8:35. Yes, found it. So this is the demon-possessed man who had many demons. We read that in verse 27. The Lord heals him, and look at the change in his heart. He was a crazy guy, and at 35, 36, 37, 37, sorry, 35. The people went out to see what had happened. They came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting down at the feet of Jesus. Same posture as Mary. He was demon-possessed, doing all crazy things, but when he had changed, the Lord had healed him, he had this natural desire to sit at the feet of the Lord that was capable of it. So for a believer, if you're a believer, if you're born again, this should be an innate desire that you have, and something that you want to build on, something that you want to leverage for your spiritual growth, to grow close to the Lord, just like Mary did. And just like we see here, the striking change, the demon-possessed man, you can see all the things he was doing till that point. And verse 35 of Luke 8, he was sitting down in his right mind. Everyone saw it and was shocked. This is unexpected. What's going on? That person was not sitting like this. He was doing all sorts of wild things. Listening, he was doing the same thing. So it is not a matter of a willpower. It's about the change of heart when God gives, when someone is saved. That's the desire that someone has because God puts that desire. And in response to what God has put, our responsibility is to use that desire to listen to Him, to submit to Him. Is that how we practice listening? Back to our chapter, Luke chapter 10, verse 39. Seated at the Lord's feet, listening to His feet. Listening. When we study our Bibles, it's a good question to ask before we get up. What did the Lord communicate with me? What did I hear? Yes, I read 10 verses, I read 5 verses, I read a chapter, I read 5 chapters. It doesn't matter. What did God communicate to me? If I were to ask you right now in your minds to think, in what you read this morning, what did God communicate to you? That's listening, right? Listening means somebody is communicating. Here, the Lord Jesus was communicating. That's a good question to ask. What if I'm not able to listen? Well, Psalm 119, verse 18 says, "Open my eyes, Lord, that I may see, that I may listen. Wonderful things from your word. I'm not able to understand. I'm not able to listen. Open my eyes." The problem is not in the one who is instructing. The problem is always in the one who's not willing to listen. So the dwelling in God's presence begins with wanting to listen. That's the question we must ask. Did we listen today? Did we listen yesterday? Did we listen on Sunday and the day before and the week before? Can we daily say, well, this is what God is communicating to me. I heard Him. Not an audible way, but I heard Him as He was speaking the Word of God. We saw that in Revelation 19. It is the Word of God which communicates. Next thing we will see is the next person in verse 40. We read about her sister. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came to Him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone?" Martha is a favorite in Christian cultures, right? We say, "Oh, she's like Martha." We often use it. I think that's not fair to Martha. That's not what the Lord in the previous verses actually gives the parable of the Good Samaritan account in order to say, "Love your neighbor as yourself." So what Martha was doing was highly valued in Jewish culture, and it's hospitality, treating those who come home is a wonderful thing. In fact, even for an elder in the church, in the book of 1 Timothy, as Paul writes, one of the qualities required is to be hospitable, to be doing what she's doing. So it's not that we can say, oh, Martha, or kind of think of her as a negative. What she was doing, which is serving, was necessary. There is a place for that. However, the second truth we learn is what is mentioned right there. But Martha was distracted. That was the problem. It's not that she was cooking. It's not like she was busy. And maybe that's her gifting. And we see that consistently. She's the one who welcomes, even when Lazarus dies, Mary stays at home. She's the one who goes out. She's the one, likely because she's mentioned in that order. Maybe she was the elder sister. She's the more vibrant, outgoing, welcoming, and she was the life of the home. Mary was the more pensive person, different personality type. And so Martha would go and welcome. Martha is the one who's organizing. She has that just natural gift, perhaps. That in itself is not what is the problem here. She was distracted. She was working hard, which is not the problem, but she became worked up. That is the problem. Why do I say she became worked up? Look at what it says in verse 40. She came up to Him, the Lord Jesus, and says, "You don't care." She was ready to scold the master. You're just sitting there and teaching my sister. You don't care? If you do, why don't you go and tell her?" It's interesting, right? Whose sister was Mary? Martha's sister. So if you're a sister, you go tell your sister. Why tell the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what I was wondering. Like, why? So she wanted that whole conversation to stop and, like, come on, we got better things to do. So working is not the problem. Worked up is the problem. We can be doing a lot of work. There is an occasion and a place for it. But she was just so worked up. Look at the accusatory tone. Lord, do you not care? It's a rhetorical question. She didn't want to say, you don't care. Like, do you not care? Like, aren't you seeing this? And I let me do a little more healthy imagination. Before she said that, and this is my imagination, I would have think that as she's going around the house, maybe the vessels were making a little more noise and she was like walking and like breathing. I just imagine there would have been some hints drop. That's me, okay? The Bible doesn't say that. Some hints drop. And finally she's like, I can't take it anymore. Lord, do you not care? My sister has left me to do all the serving. Now, if you ask a question, who was busy in Mary and Martha, how would you think? Who was busy? Both were busy in the way they restrained their mind. Martha was busy in the truest sense, serving for the people who had come, minus the distraction. She was busy. Mary was busy giving her whole mind to what God was saying. The problem was, in Martha's busyness, she got worked up. The Lord tells us in Matthew 15, the things that proceed out of the mouth indicate what is in the heart. So if the choice of words tells you what's going on in the mind. So if somebody goes to the Lord Jesus Christ, somebody who knows the Lord, somebody who the Lord loves, who we could say is his disciple, Martha too, let's just say that is true, and I won't establish that too long, but if Martha was and Mary both were disciples and the Lord loved them, that's why I think they're his disciples. Why would, if someone goes to the point of saying, Lord, you do not care for my sister, it says something about their mind, how they think about the Lord, to be able to accuse the Lord, to be able to put out that frustration. She was ready to scold the master. That was the problem. And the Bible clearly says she was distracted with all her preparations. When we serve the Lord, when we serve Him doing a certain task, if there is distraction and we get worked up, the problem is with us. It could happen in our church. Maybe I'm responsible for certain something, and I get worked up because this other brother or sister is not doing what they're supposed to do. That may be a fact or my perceived imagination. But when I get worked up, that is a distraction. In going back to our topic of dwelling in God's presence, when I dwell in God's presence, there is fullness of joy, the Bible says. Whether I'm busy doing something or I'm teaching a Sunday school class, when I'm serving Him, there is fullness of joy if I'm in God's presence. But when there is no joy, there is distraction and frustration, that is a problem. I'm not dwelling in God's presence. She didn't have the, in the middle of her busyness, she didn't have the communion with Christ who was in their living room. She was just distracted. So when we criticize others or pity ourselves, there's the self-pity. You don't care that I'm left to do all the serving alone? Self-pity. Do you see what's going on to me? Oh, poor me. I'm doing all this. Well, what a way to express self-pity to the Creator. So if we see signs of this self-pity, criticism, overworked, and finally, God, are you not listening? Lord, do you see my problem? I don't feel it. Dwelling in God's presence is not going to be full of joy when there is distraction. So what was the distraction? And we see that in the next verse. But before we get there, it's a good question to ask. Is there fullness of joy in our serving? When things don't go according to our plan, do we get worked up? Getting worked up indicates where our joy is. Getting worked up indicates where our confidence and trust is, whether we are really dwelling in the presence of God or not. Then the Lord comments on her. In verse 41, Lord, do you not care? But the Lord answered. This is the third thing that we learn. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things. The Lord is not angry or frustrated or upset. He's saying, my dear Martha, kind of saying that. That's what it means when he says the word twice. Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. And I'd say he was saying, you're getting to the point you're worked up. But only, verse 42, but only one thing is necessary. That is the third truth I wanted to share. Listening, receiving the communication from God, not distracted in our service, not distracted by when we live in God's presence, lack of distractions when we commune with God in studying His Word or serving Him. The more important thing here is, the third thing is, only one thing is necessary. This is the top priority. Only one thing is necessary. Are the other things not necessary? They are other things. It's like saying, seek first the kingdom of God. Then other things will be added. That's the meaning here. One thing is necessary. What is your top priority, Martha? Over here, Mary has decided to make something her top priority. And guess what? This is what the Lord is saying. That is my top priority too. The Lord Jesus Christ's top priority is also Mary's top priority. So I'm not going to disturb her. You're making a request saying, Lord, tell her to stand up and come to the kitchen and help me. No, no, no. My top priority for Mary, for everyone, is Mary's top priority for me. That's what we're aligned here. Having one mind, she will not be disturbed. What does he say? It will not be taken away from her. Do not disturb. Mary and the Lord Jesus Christ agreed on what was the greatest need. The Lord knew what her greatest need was, and maybe Mary was drawn to satisfying that greatest need. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. That's what she desired. And the Lord said, she will not be disturbed. Now, in that same house, in that same room, as the Lord was, it's kind of like we're playing a sermon there. It's available for everyone to listen, certainly the two sisters. Only one of them was intently listening and communicating. It was there for the other person to listen to as well. But she was distracted and getting worked up, not listening. The Lord is saying, between the two, between getting worked up and paying attention to me, this is more important. Priority. So dwelling in God's presence must be our priority, just like Mary has been certified as having. Verse 42, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part. She has chosen the priority. How does this look like? Remember, we read in the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus, He will not come physically to our houses. However, we have the Word of God. Revelation 19, we saw that, the Word of God. So if we have the Word of God, how do we then connect with it? How do we treat it? 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's turn there, please. 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 2. How should we make the Word of God our priority? 1 Peter 2:2. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. That is the instruction. So if you are not born again, you will not understand this, as I explained. You know, the demoniac sitting at the feet of the Lord. But if you are a believer, if this is not a priority, this is what you must do. Like newborn babies, listen. Don't be distracted. Make it a priority. Can you tell a newborn baby, listen, be quiet for about 8 hours today? No. They will make sure this becomes a priority. They will make sure you appreciate that milk is a priority for them. The crying is just going to become screaming and wailing till you feed. You have no option but to attend to the priority. Their greatest need is something you have to satisfy. That's what the Lord is saying here. Like newborn babies, make it a priority. Long for the pure milk of God's word. Don't go without it. I shared recently, how many times in a day does a baby drink milk? Can you just say breakfast is done, wait till lunch? No, they're going to be on their time, not your time. Long for the pure word of God. Well, I read five verses. That's not how newborn babies long for it. There's a constant need to be satisfied. Why? In verse 2, 1 Peter 2:2, so that you may grow in respect to salvation. So why should this be a priority? So that wisdom can be received by you. Listening, not distracted. I look at God's word and know how to make choices. And that he explains later or before in 1 Peter chapter 2, you can read later. There's wisdom. Like Mary, we can have communion with God. So in my service, in my actions, I am in the fullness of joy. Even if there is no reason to be joyful, I am in the fullness of joy and confidence. There is godly perspective when there are difficult circumstances. That's what the word of God provides. And the best thing, it is the good part. It is the good part. Why would we not? If the Lord Jesus Christ says this is the good part and you don't long for it, you're not longing for the good part. What else are you longing for more than this? Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word. That's what Mary did over there in Luke chapter 10. Longing for the pure milk. Couldn't be bothered with everything. Shouldn't our longing be like that, like Mary? That's why the Lord said, she has chosen the good part. She has chosen what is priority. So God was saying, in his judgment, in his mind, what she's doing is so close to him. That's what the Lord is communicating through that story to all of us in the New Testament church. That is longing in God's heart, that we make this a priority, that we listen to him, that we're not distracted when we commune with him. So if people do that, and if I encourage you to think, if that's how you think about your time with the Lord, whether you're communing with God, whether you're like Mary, how will they be like? I want to close by looking at Psalm 91. If we can all turn there, please. What kind of people are these people, like Ezra, who we read, like Mary, who we read about, or 2 Peter chapter 2, like newborn babies when they long for God's presence? What happens to them? What kind of Christians will they be like? How do you know if you are like that or not? Well, here are some clues. Here are some truths from God's word. Psalm 91, and we will close with this after looking at a few things. Verse 1, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. So when you do that, when you make this a priority, you are living in the shelter of the Most High. That's why the Lord says, it will not be taken away. We'll abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 4, ending of verse 4, his faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. That's what I become aware of. I am always confident and restful because I become aware more and more of his faithfulness as I study his word. When circumstances seem confusing, difficult, challenging, there's pain, physical pain or emotional pain because of something that's going on, faithfulness is a bulwark. I'm not going to be shaken because he's faithful. How do I get it? When I long for the pure milk. And I make it a priority. What else happens to these people? Verse 5, you will not be afraid. Fear will go away. You'll not be afraid of the terror by night, arrows that fly. We also see this in Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. Well, why is there a valley of shadow of death? That's up to God. But when I go through it, no fear, because I long for the pure milk of God's word. I listen. I'm not distracted. I'm making this a priority. What else happens to them? Verse 9. You make the Lord Most High my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. Yes, you're driving your car, you're at your work, you're doing various things, but In reality, you are in the dwelling place of God. You're dwelling in God's presence. You're less and less likely to get worked up as you serve Him. In His presence, when you dwell there, there is fullness of joy. That's what happens when you serve the Lord like that. Finally, in that same chapter, verse 15, He will call upon me and I will answer him. Verse 16, with a long life, I will satisfy him. Now, God will answer in the way He will answer. May not be the exact thing that you ask Him, but He will answer. What do I mean by that? One example, Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. Let your request be made known to God in everything, and what will He give? It doesn't say He'll give you what you ask for, but the peace of God will lock your hearts. I'm using my words. Will guard your hearts so that the distraction, the working up, the anxiety will not come and bother you. And others will be like, how is he so quiet? How is he so restful? The peace of God will guard your hearts when you long for the pure milk of God's word. One thing is important. It will not be taken away. So let's pursue that one thing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening, for your word. Thank you for these truths that we can meditate on. We know that one thing is important, as you've told to Mary, and you're instructing us tonight. May we practice listening. May we practice setting aside distractions, instead living in the fullness of joy. May we make this a priority, just like newborn babies longing for milk. Lord, we are, sad to say, busy people, even busy for your word. But may we change our priorities so that we make this the one thing. And in that, you be glorified through our lives. Thank you for the encouragement from your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.